And are you familiar with Merle's farm? Right. Okay. Okay. So really he's starting here the Hakdama, kind of interestingly enough, almost an apology with what he's going to be doing, that it may not be, he may not get it right, and so on. It's kind of unusual, I'm not sure why. But he says like this, Akosava says, V'zaysa Tosha, some Moshe Meisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Torah in front of Klal Yisrael. HaKosava Zoloima Katoira Chifetz Munach. It's something which is sitting there, Koloroitza Liskas Bo Yiskaba. Anybody who wants to be zeichen it can be zocher. Ulekach lo omash es som lebnei Yisrael. That's why it doesn't say that he placed tukla Yisrael. Rak lifnei bnei Yisrael. Kimoy dova munach lifnehem. Koloroitza Liskas Yisrael. But there's a certain element of allowing anyone who's interested in going ahead and taking some. V'lo yoyma adam ki atoyr lenita rak legdole chachamim. So a person might say that, listen, Torah is meant for people who are goyim and won't make any mistakes. Torah is given for anybody, anyone has the right to approach Torah. And a person shouldn't say that, you know, how can I approach Torah? I might make a mistake. It's interesting, by the way, the Sefer Ikrim, who deals specifically with inyanim of Deus and Amuna, and he's sort of wary when he starts out. He poses the following question towards the beginning about, if somebody makes a mistake in inyanim of Amunas and Deus, do we say that the person is like an apikores? Or not, like he says, I'm trying to talk about things. I might get it wrong. What am I risking by getting it wrong? So basically, the cream comes out that as long as the mistake is an honest mistake, the person didn't start with an axe to grind and he was following Torah to the best of his ability, there's no, he doesn't fall into the category of an epicurus, chas v'shalom, and so on. But he's talking over here a lot more about the general scope of Torah. V'dovaz epirsha b'medrash, who wrote the Ikrim? The Ikrim is a sefer by Rabbi Yosef Albo. He was from the late Spanish philosophers. It's actually quite an important sefer. The overall structure is, he debates the Rambam, that he doesn't feel that there's a need to have 13 Ikrim. It's not that he disagrees with any particular one, he just feels they could be condensed. He condenses them to three, which are Metzias HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah Min HaShemayim, and Tzchav Onesh. Everything else could be subsumed under one of these categories. So he explains them, and he goes through it. It's a very nice sefer. A little bit he wanders off sometimes on Pirushim, like, you know, Pshatim. He wanders off, and sometimes he's a little bit philosophical, but by and large, it actually happens to be a very important sefer. It's called Sefer Ikrim Rabbi Yosef Albo, late Spanish, towards the end of the Spanish era. Okay, so he says, V'dovaz epirsh b'medrash, it says, He'vi'ani l'beis hayayin v'diglo lai ahava. So, Rabbi Yoina Omar, shnei chaveim o'iskin ba'alocha. Ze me'beis avsha alocha, v'ze einay me'beis avsha alocha. If you have two people arguing on halacha, one of them says the right, Beis Av actually is more the reason, the explanation, the avon of it. Oyma kadosh baruch hu v'diglo lai ava, that I cover on the mistakes, or the word that the Chazal use is v'dilugo. This Chazal is more famous for the beginning of it, where it says, if you have a chazan who's davening for the Amid, and he mixes up words, he doesn't pronounce them right, so that instead of saying a hafti Hashem, he says a yafti Hashem, and so on. So it says, v'diluga lai be'avo, that sort of, even the words you skipped over, even the things you got wrong in pronunciation, I allow Ava to cover it up, which is actually easier to understand than this point, because it's one thing when tefillah, which is a personal bakasha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if the person means well, then that's fine. Here, where it's getting it right or wrong in an element of understanding Torah, not understanding Torah, it's a little bit harder to understand. But at any rate, Chazal say it. Omer v'chamar shekar la'ava eva, which is the, that's kigoyim v'hafta v'yafta, omer kadosh baruch hu v'digla la'ava or v'diluga la'ava, ad kan. So the first half is the one that he feels appropriate here. Upirish beis av shel halacha, sheirish halacha v'taima. Now, interesting, just to note in the Chazal here, I don't know if he means to delineate or not, the Chazal here don't deal with somebody who gets a psak wrong. This is somebody who gets the base av wrong, which is really the shoresh of a halacha. In other words, what exactly is the havan? You know, what's the havan of something? Where does it come from? It's a lot more the academic element rather than the halachic element. I don't know if Chazal meant to be said a bit doyuk or not, but it is interesting because if Chazal were trying to list mistakes on halacha, they would have said so a lot more. Halacha zemer chayev ze oimer potter zemer mutter zemer asa would be a lot better description of halachic machlokas. The fact that somehow they got it onto the area of Beis Av Shel Halacha is makes you wonder why. So one explanation could be that, you know, in a Hanami, a person makes a mistake and Halacha is being marshal somebody, and that's bad. Mashenkin, if you're just talking about the learning, the lumdus of it, so okay, you made a mistake, but it's not a mistake that will result in Avera. It could also be the in Halacha, the other way around. In Halacha, there's Leiva Shemayim here, and we have ways of paskling. We have a Yachid Nerabim, a Talmud and a Rav. You have different klolim that you bring it to a psak, and if the psak's right, then the psak's right. In other words, there's no such thing as psak being wrong when you follow the law. Beisav Shel Halacha means that you're actually sort of, you're not, it's not a halachic issue, so there's not going to be a psak, there's not going to be klolim of rov, and then the question is just who has it right or not, and that's where you could make a mistake. So I have one or two pshatim why the Chazal here are using beis av shel halacha instead of halacha, and one of them that beis av halacha is easier, and one of them is it's more chomer, not sure which one. Okay, so he says, "Ubnei ze nira ki abrocha limud haTorah lasuk b'divasora, ve'im evarcha lulmot Torah." So he thinks that that's why you make the brocha lasuk and not lulmot. In other words, lasuk is to be involved in the process of Torah, whereas limud would imply a straightforward learning of what's right. A lulmot Torah means that what he has in front of him is genuine Torah; it's right, it's real, and it's just a question of him, you know, he got it wrong and so on. Lulmot means it has to be right because that's the Torah he's learning. Lasuk means he's attempting to learn it, and even if he got it wrong, so what? So he says, "V'im sheish tefar shakachem vorchen lasuk v'Torah m'nisha brocha zeis birsa mitzvah shechay el vorchen komis es esei v'mitzvah zeis akvedo sheish b'maise shrei nikro mitzvah esei shechay el lasuk." So he says, I could have said a different pshat that this is more, it's emphasizing the fact that even if you don't learn it with your mouth and say it, it's still chayav a bracha, because the klal is that mitzvahs that don't have a maisa don't have a bracha. So, if he goes ahead and he says lasok lulmot divrei Torah, so that's the act of Lumot Torah is just the absorption of Torah, and I would not think that, and I could think that that's not Chayav Bracha. But when you say Lasok, it's the process of talking about it, of being involved in it, and that's why it's called a Maisa. Avol Limud Nikra Avonis Adava Mashalamat, Vein Abracha Raka Maisa Mitzvah, Vim Lamed Bein Levad In Levad Chas V'Yasara, Shaznema Ala Maisa. So he said, so we could say that the emphasis is that you're mechuyev to do something which could count as a maisa. So somebody who learns bepeh and is active and is saying something, that's generates a bracha. Masheikin, if you look back and you read and you're simply sort of absorbing what's there, that one would not have will not make a bracha. Omnanir loyimak meshemanu. But doesn't like that pshat, and he would like to say a different pshat. Omnam yolom. So it's a possibility to say this pshat, but he doesn't feel confident that's the real pshat. He has a different pshat. Kilakach mevorchon lasu with the Torah. Kiluma Torah lo shayach rak al mishaloma Torah umechavin alocha lamitosa. Shebezeh shayach lima Torah. Avol mi sheina mechavin alocha lamitosa ein ze limud. Now, Lulmot Torah means Lulmot is, oh, I guess what could I use a muscle? It's like the input cable from you know, when you take a device and you want to load it on a computer. Lulmot means I am learning that which is Torah. We don't quite catch the sharpness of the phrase, because for us to learn, when we say I'm learning yeshiva, it means I'm being also a pupil of Torah. But take something else. Let's say I use the following expression. I taught myself computers, and you get it wrong, and you made a mistake. So you wouldn't say I taught myself, I would say I attempted to teach myself computers. Or any type of teaching means I gave you over the right information. Learning means you're inputting the right information. If I'm the process but nothing happens, I wouldn't call that to learn. So even if I'm not at fault, but if I didn't learn it, if what I learned wasn't right, then I didn't learn. So therefore he says the Torah, we can't say Luma Torah, because that would imply only if I'm confident that whatever I learned is emes. But if I attempted to and I went back and forth and I struggled to understand something but I'm not sure, that would not count as the Torah. So that's why it says lasuk b'divisora, which means the processing of Torah, the process of acquiring Torah. So whether I acquired it at the end or not, I certainly can call it a process of acquiring. Masha Einkin, 1 minute. I need a telephone, ma. Masha Einkin, if the person is so little mode means I learned, meaning that the material is genuine material. Masha Einkin, what I'm being osik in the Torah, then I'm attempting to learn, I'm expending effort to learn, I may or may not have succeeded in it. Rak, but he says one condition, sheichav lomor emes, avgav shu shoygeg. Harei ki limon atoy latsu nokom moed vetzok loch shum dobe. So, learning Torah in itself, now he does have a caveat here, and I think that's important. He said sheyichaven lulmod ha'emes. It doesn't mean lishma that your kavana needs to be pure, that you're doing it just because it's for the emes or for Kadosh Baruch Hu. It means rather the person's tachlis should be to try to realize what is the real pshat in the sugya, the chomesh. There are sometimes genuinely different approaches, and each one is sensible, and that's fine. But sometimes a person can be sitting and learning and sort of working through something because he wants to say something, and is not, what's driving him is not, is it emes or not, but rather would he be able to get a good shot out of it. Masha'in Kane, things that, but so that's certainly, that's not even called being osik b'divrei Torah, because you're not engaged in the process of studying, you're engaged in the process of writing up something, of, you know, whatever. So therefore, you need to have that level of kavana that you want to be lomas emes. But he's not talking about the possibility of, you know, that it depends what you're doing it for. It just the main thing is that you should be trying to figure out what the Torah means. So I don't feel bad in learning. If it was just a question of learning Torah, so whatever my motivation is, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But now that I'm going to teach it to other people, and he says, Kilo, I'm presenting my sphere to other people, we have two problems. First of all, to tell somebody else, it's one thing for me, if I'm struggling, and I struggle in order to learn, okay, that's Torah, and that's very, very good. But things that I'm really not sure if they're emes or not, why would I want to pass it on to somebody else? It's not clear to me that it's emes. So he says, Kim einem mechav malocha lohor einem zolosei v'do emes lomaloi. Ki tachas mashichav ha-miniyat v'torif ne-zolosei le-hach kvasei v'emes yoshe. The reason for my telling you a pshat or whatever it is to make you wiser and so on. V'derech emes rochek m'shevatz. And there are very few people that can lay claim to that, to the fact that they're mevakshe emes. U'mikol shekein b'deiris ha'elu she'ovda chachma me'adam. So, since it's something that very, very hard for people to say that they really understood something, you know, in the way it's supposed to be understood, as with the Oimek. So to say that you're going out and you're teaching others material that you yourself are not so sure about, it really, one really questions whether it's appropriate or not. Hasheni, afim u'michavan alocha mi yodeh mi l'rotzim e'filiz l'osay v'im lo y'l'rotzim adayin l'hil dava. So now he says something else over here. The question is also, whenever it is that I'm saying something or presenting material to other people, first of all, I need to be convinced that I'm telling the truth, that what I'm saying is true, and that's obvious. So a person would not be putting down things that he feels are not true to teach other people, because why you want to give it to them? But the second thing is, you need also to when you talk to the other person, your kavana is that the other person listen, understand what you're telling them. That's the tachlis of it. You're teaching somebody, so you also need to sit and to go through the bother of writing something and so on, to teach someone who's not being taught by what you're writing, that also has no tachlis to it. So he says, so when I sit and learn for myself, so whether I'm sure that I got it right or not, it's irrelevant and it's good. But when I'm teaching somebody else, I need to be sure that, why would I want to give him things that are not true? And secondly, even if I've given things that are true, they need to be miscabled to the other person. I once heard a word from Briska Rav. It says, Yayin b'shem etach z'shoynech. No, it says, Cholov, I think. Cholov v'dvash tach z'shoynech. So it says. So he says, if the Chazal say im advarim arevim kedvash, then omram im lav kofshem tafse shaynich. If the word, if what you're saying is sweet, let it out, disseminate it. If what you're saying is not sweet, then keep it to yourself. So he asked, what does it mean if the Torah you're saying is sweet or not sweet? If we're talking about things that are true, what do I care that it's unpopular? If I'm talking about things that are not true, what do I care that people will love it? Not true. So what is it? What is it referring to, that divrei Torah that are beautiful should be told? So the Rav said, certainly we're talking about divrei Torah that are true. But even divrei Torah that are true, he says, mitzad the kvoda shel Torah, things that people will understand and enjoy should be disseminated, other things not. In other words, to take divrei Torah that even if they're emes and they're good, and to go just spill it out onto the street, is a chisorin in kavodat Torah. And that's why he says, so here he's just saying on a practical level, he says, I want to reach out and teach, and when you're writing for yourself, your own notes, when you're writing for other people, you want to feel that you're able to get through. And this thing that we just spoke about now, the warning that what I'm saying should be accepted by people, that was true even in the generations that were much bigger than ours. So when you go into Beis Medrash, you say Yiratzen shouldn't be nechshal in halacha, and people shouldn't be happy with that. So he says, he explains that. Harei sha'af b'talmud chacham gadol, even a big talmud chacham, because we're talking about Rabbi Chanina kind of going into Beis Medrash. He still felt that, you know what, when I hear somebody else say something that's a little off, I'm quite happy with that. Because it's natural for people to feel good about the areas that they're better than somebody else. So he felt on himself, that he might be tempted to sort of smile at somebody else's mistake. So that's why he's mispalled that he shouldn't follow that nature. You could learn that if it's going on as chaverim, so he thinks it means he shouldn't be nechshal v'aralacha and or making fun of somebody else or being happy with somebody else's kishal. So the point that all he wants from this is, you know, you see that the question of whatever you teach being accepted by someone else was an issue even then, and he was mispowled for that. So if, he said, if that's true there, so he says, certainly in our generation, that people don't at all like when other people are talking. In other words, there's the element of jealousy. So they're not going to lamitzchus. They're not going to try to understand what someone said in a more positive light, and you'll have this problem. Omlo, linotzel mizeh. So what is the Eitzes. So he's has a problem. He wants to write for other people. He's not certain if what he's saying is emes. And worse than that is, and therefore, it won't be. People won't accept it. Now, if people won't accept it, what's the point of writing it? In other words, it's an effort to write, and to sit and to write when nobody's listening is really, really a brachal about Torah. So, what's the point of it? That's the question that he says. So he puts down here an eitzah. He says, Omnam, linotzel mizeh, kashe yechav maizah Hashem yisborach, ashe hoirish el ha'odam ha'toyer v'chachma, gam ata yitin loy toyrosoy, v'yadrich oysoy, b'nesivis emes, kimitit eitzah toyer. So he says here that if a person is mechav and Hashem yisborach, if he gave a person toyer and chachma, he'll give him now also the toyer and so on. So let's stop a second and just discuss this a minute. It sounds like it's a very firm thing. Basically what he's saying is Yishmi Spalal and Trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't seem to be any real reply over here, any real answer. I'm sorry? So I think I would like to possibly be medayek. Two points, a point that he's making over here. When we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a person Torah and Chachma, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving a person Torah. So it doesn't mean just he put the Torah down. And, you know, it's fine. You know, we know where you can find it. We know the local Aron Kodesh. Giving us Torah means that he gave us a natural ability, affinity, or whatever it is, to have our chelek in Torah. In other words, it's a natural extension of our mind to go into Torah. So just like, for instance, things that are latent in a human, you have a child and he has certain pre-programmed abilities like walking or whatever it is, even if he sort of takes a lot of hesitant steps and falls, but it's in him to fold out to be able to walk normally. That's part and parcel of the teva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in by giving us walking. So when you have a person who's going to want to learn Torah, what he's really doing is sort of bringing out from within himself the Torah that's supposed to be there. So yes, it's a tedious process, but in a certain sense it's there, and it's a question of just bringing it out, and that Torah that you have inside is Torah's emes. So we all have a chelek of Torah, and each of our chelek is unique. To tease it out, to coax it out, requires different things, but we have we can say with a certain level of assuredness that I will get to Torah's emes. It's there. It's not something where I have to go out and attain it. It's a question of simply finding it inside me. That's one knach that I believe is in what he's saying over here, that it's a Torah that we yarshin and so on and so forth, and therefore it's so the Kadosh Baruch Hu was moirish al teirin chachma. Yamati to teirasi lechem sivus emes. That's one pshat. I was also thinking a different pshat. I think the first pshat is more emes, but I think it's still worth saying it. The what he says here, kashe yechav in ma'aseh Hashem yisbarach, asher asah al teirin chachma. So let's say I can give a mashal over here. Imagine a person, a person is going let's say you're shooting a racket or a bullet or whatever it is, and you want it to get to a certain place, you want it to go straight, but you don't have the ability to walk with it and get it to the right place. But if where you're standing you aim and you direct it for a little bit of the way, it will hit home over there where it's supposed to hit home. So when a person wants to what's the right word for it? When a person is trying to shoot for a certain emes of Torah, it's within us, and it's an extension of where we are and what we are, but it's much, much further than that. He says that the word Yechav Ma'ez Hashem Yisbarach, the word Mechavein means to focus. Like the word in Ivrit, Kivunim, Kivun means direction, Lechaven means to focus, not to have Kavana, but rather it is to focus on something. It's like different Kivunim are the different directions. So if a person focuses his mice into the emes of Hashem Yisbarach, so all the other pieces fit into place, let's call it automatically. It's something that you know, if I take what I my abilities and I focus towards the goal of understanding Torah, so whatever I get hold of, whatever I understand, I can get to the emes. That's, I think, what his point was. Okay, any questions? So, okay, I think that's an important point. Let me tell you where I would like to understand it. There are certain disciplines that it's a question of it's a question of simply working out logic, the math in a sense, and the answers will always be there. Simply, as long as your processing unit is okay, it's going to be there because it's being processed. There are certain things that are judgment calls. For instance, a certain sense of things, aesthetics, that there's no way of quantifying it, but if you're together with somebody who your feelings and your sense of the nice things resonate, then we have a mahalach of understanding, not through the processing of the mind per se, but a certain level of the heart of sort of getting a sense of what the other person means. It's what the other person means, it's what does this mean in the context of the whole Torah, and so on. Those are elements that are much harder to pin down than this Nekuda. So we're talking about over here about things that are, you know, not logically provable, but if I work out my midas and my heart, my neshama, so it resonates with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is. So just like I can't understand another person unless I'm similar to the other person and we're alike in many ways, I can't over here also clap at HaKadosh Baruch Hu to understand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I need to be similar enough to him so that his thoughts, so to speak, resonate my thoughts. There are things for instance, let's give another example, a simple example. Then if you go to a culture of a strange country, so you have a hard time dealing with it, because you can't process it. You don't understand why being angry or upset made you this or that. It's a mindset that you can't wrap yourself around. And you find that a lot of things that you believe or feel, you know, that this is right or wrong, whatever, it's just not working over here. And what you think to be normal is crazy and vice versa. There's somebody who lives in both cultures. So if you're somebody who lived and was acculturated in Eretz Yisrael and in America, you would resonate enough to understand what's going on. So since everybody has, Hashem Baruch Hu gave everybody an neshama, Torah, and so on and so forth, when you're being mechaven, you're allowing yourself to resonate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Havana and Tvisa. Okay, we'll hold it here. Okay, a good fach. Take care. Bye.